couple minutes to 8 o'clock. You're listening to WTL New Orleans, WTL News and Views, your public affairs programming on 91.5 FM. Good morning. Thanks for tuning in from your car on your holiday. However you may be listening to us, we're grateful. In the studio, I have with me the illustrious Janet Hayes. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the things going on with the jail expansion. There was a town hall this past Monday on St. Bernard Avenue discussing how to continue to resist building the phase three component of the jail, which would put the bed number above the recommended number of beds in Orleans Parish, right there at Tulane and Broad. If you drive by on the interstate, you can kind of see how the sheriff got the money for two. They look really pretty on the outside. new buildings that do not connect. This phase three, as I understand it, would connect those two facilities. And as I understand it, those facilities were purposely built to be kind of underserved, like not compliant, to pressure us to pay for a third building so the sheriff can have more contract Monday. Janet, tell us about what's going on recently, people getting together to resist more beds against the recommendations of the city council.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Scott. And you're right. That whole phase three component seems to have been deliberately engineered by the sheriff, who wants to build more beds in addition to the 1438 new facility that was just constructed. And that's a whole can of worms. But where we're at right now is the building does not have the spaces needed to properly and constitutionally care for people with special needs, i.e. mental illness, physical disabilities, women and children. And so, as you know, a compliance director was mandated to come to New Orleans by Judge Afric, who will ultimately make the decision on whether or not a phase three component is built, to provide expertise in cleaning up the jail, you know, retraining officers, cleaning up morale and that sort of thing. So the decision on whether or not he thinks a phase three is needed will be on December the 1st. So the Orleans Parish Prison Reform Coalition, which is a coalition made up of a number of stakeholders, including people who were formerly incarcerated, are holding an overnight vigil from November the 30th until December the 1st to rally up support in the community to pressure the power, the decision makers, to not build a phase three facility, which would actually cost about $55 million of FEMA money, and to instead renovate the 1438 bed facility, which, you know, to achieve the same purpose, which would cost about $8 million. Ultimately,
so the money is 33 versus 8.
55.
55 versus
8. 8 or 9, give or take a million.
It's about 40 that could go to, I don't know, the flood relief that we're begging for, I guess.
Well, the FEMA money that was designated for the replacement of the new jail, of the old jail system, which I wouldn't call it facilities because a lot of it was tents and it was horrific.
We interviewed Diane Jones on our program years ago when those tents were still. I mean, the tents were, geez.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
The new facility.
Words we can't use on the radio, right?
The new facility still kind of, there's still violence and problems in the new facility as well.
Right, which is why the federal compliance director was selected to oversee operations of the jail, because it was deemed that even though we have a new building, what was happening on the inside was still very similar to conditions in the old facility. So as we know, new buildings are not always the solution to old problems. They were needed, sure. You know, people should live in humane conditions, but the problem went deeper than that. And unfortunately, our sheriff has not been able to get control. And so that's why the compliance director was appointed, I guess, by the, not appointed, but selected. It's kind of an, I don't want to get into that can of worms, but he's there. Gary Maynard, his experience is in reforming prisons in Oklahoma and Maryland, and he's sort of known as a corruption buster. So, you know, we're happy to have him, and he does have expertise in mental health, and he does understand, you know, the issue around mental health industry.
And it's a whole other thing. There's the vigil that's going to be Wednesday the 30th
Wednesday
overnight.
The 30th. Mm-hmm.
And I imagine it'll be, time and location are to be announced, but you can follow, look up OPPRC or Orleans Parish Prison Reform Coalition on Facebook. There is a Facebook event if you want to follow what's going on. I imagine the vigil will be somewhere around Tulane and Broad, right? The whole complex over there.
Yeah, it's going to be at 5 p.m. on November 30th until 10 a.m. December the 1st. Mm-hmm. And officials have been invited to come and speak if they want. The decision will be made on December the 1st. So I know that the compliance director has been invited to the vigil to make an announcement if he so wishes before... before going to the media. This is no surprises. I mean, this is not, I don't think that the coalition is looking to, they want to have a peaceful demonstration and they want people to feel like they are able to participate regardless of whether they're a decision maker, an impacted person, or an advocate, or a business leader, or whatever. So they're advertising it on Facebook, and it, as far as I know, it will be at Gravier Park, but the location may change. So people should keep an eye on the Orleans Parish Prison Reform Coalition Facebook page for notifications about any changes.
It's your money. It's your beds.
And speaking of money, the buck does stop with the mayor. The mayor he's the final decision maker. And if the judge did order a phase three facility, the mayor is responsible for, the city is responsible for funding the facility.
That.
So the mayor could choose not to fund the phase three, which would be in contempt of the judge's order if that were to happen. I know that there are council members who have expressed their agreement with being in contempt if it comes to that. I don't know. I can't get into the mayor's
head. The issue of mental health, Janet, I know you're a staunch mental health advocate, and there are other avenues. Of course, like, we'd prefer to have a mental health care system outside of the prison system. I think that would be the ideal. There's other initiatives that you and other people are working on in the state level to take care of people who are mentally ill?
Yeah, there's a number of things happening around, not only in other cities and counties across the country, but even in parishes in Louisiana. Unfortunately, not so much is happening in Orleans Parish. And just as background, the mental health industry has really abandoned people with the most severe mental illnesses like schizophrenia, bipolar disease, and serious chronic depression because they're very cost intensive.
Right.
And for reasons that go back 50 years, you know, the slowly funding dwindled down and programs have dwindled down and services for folks that have those kinds of issues. And so consequently, the corrections department has been saddled with really caring for a population that often need long-term inpatient care, but because there's no long-term inpatient care in the community, they need a 24/7. They need to be in a place where there is expertise for caring for people 24/7 and making sure that they remain safe and that the public remains safe. The other facilities that people have been channeled into are nursing homes, which hasn't really worked out that well. And this is all, again, it's an abdication of the mental health industry's responsibility, desire to care for this population. So what needs to happen is shift in policy and shift in funding to channel money back from the corrections department into mental health. And that's a huge, it's a huge broken system, and turning that freighter around is going to take a long time, but it is beginning to turn around, and there is a sea change in attitude about how we're going to reduce mass incarceration and how we're going to get mental health reform. And there's bipartisan initiatives. One of the things that, now I run an organization called Healing Minds NOLA, and one of the initiatives that we've been involved with is working with other families advocates across the country to get mental health reform legislation passed through Congress.
There's still violence and problems in the new facility as well.
Right, which is why the federal compliance director was selected to oversee operations of the jail, because it was deemed that even though we have a new building, what was happening on the inside was still very similar to conditions in the old facility. So as we know, new buildings are not always the solution to old problems. They were needed, sure. You know, people should live in humane conditions, but the problem went deeper than that. And unfortunately, our sheriff has not been able to get control. And so that's why the compliance director was selected. It's kind of I don't want to get into that can of worms, but he's there. Gary Maynard, his experience is in reforming prisons in Oklahoma and Maryland, and he's sort of known as a corruption buster. So, you know, we're happy to have him, and he does have expertise in mental health, and he does understand, you know, the issue around mental health industry.
And it's a whole other thing. There's the vigil that's going to be Wednesday the 30th overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine it'll be, time and location are to be announced, but you can look up OPPRC or Orleans Parish Prison Reform Coalition on Facebook. There is a Facebook event if you want to follow what's going on. I imagine the vigil will be somewhere around Tulane and Broad, right? The whole complex over there.
Yeah, it's going to be at 5 p.m. on November 30th until 10 a.m. December the 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And officials have been invited to come and speak if they want. The decision will be made on December the 1st. So I know that the compliance director has been invited to the vigil to make an announcement if he so wishes before before going to the media. This is no surprises. I mean, this is not, I don't think that the coalition is looking to, they want to have a peaceful demonstration and they want people to feel like they are able to participate regardless of whether they're a decision maker, an impacted person, or an advocate or a business leader or whatever. So they're advertising it on Facebook, and as far as I know, it will be at Gravier Park, but the location may change. So people should keep an eye on the Orleans Parish Prison Reform Coalition Facebook page for notifications about any changes.
It's your money. It's your beds.
And speaking of money, the buck does stop with the mayor. The mayor he's the final decision maker. And if the judge did order a phase three facility, the mayor is responsible for, the city is responsible for funding the facility.
That.
So the mayor could choose not to fund the phase three, which would be in contempt of the judge's order if that were to happen. I know that there are council members who have expressed their agreement with being in contempt if it comes to that. I don't know. I can't get into the mayor's
head. Well, the issue of mental health, Janet, I know you're a staunch mental health advocate, and there are other, of course, like, we'd prefer to have a mental health care system outside of the prison system. I think that would be the ideal. Are there other initiatives that you and other people are working on in the state level to take care of people who are mentally ill?
Yeah, there's a number of things happening around, not only in other cities and counties across the country, but even in parishes in Louisiana. Unfortunately, not so much is happening in Orleans Parish. And just as background, the mental health industry has really abandoned people with the most severe mental illnesses like schizophrenia, bipolar disease, and serious chronic depression because they are very cost intensive.
Right.
And for reasons that go back 50 years, you know, the slowly funding dwindled down and programs have dwindled down and services for folks that have those kinds of issues. And so consequently, the corrections department has been saddled with really caring for a population that often need long-term inpatient care, but because there's no long-term inpatient care in the community, they need a 24/7. They need to be in a place where there is expertise for caring for people 24/7 and making sure that they remain safe and that the public remains safe. The other facilities that people have been channeled into are nursing homes, which hasn't really worked out that well. And this is all, again, it's an abdication of the mental health industry's responsibility, desire to care for this population. So,
what pay for it.
So, what needs to happen is shift in policy and shift in funding to channel money back from the corrections department into mental health, and that's a huge, you know, it's a huge broken system. And turning that freighter around is going to take a long time, but it is beginning to turn around, and there is a sea change in attitude about how we're going to reduce mass incarceration and how we're going to get mental health reform. And there's, so there's bipartisan initiatives. One of the things that now I run an organization called Healing Minds NOLA, and one of the initiatives that we've been involved with is working with other families advocates across the country to get mental health reform legislation passed through Congress. And we were successful in getting H.R. 2646, the Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act, passed in July with a vote of 422-2 in the House. It's now up to the Senate to pass a companion bill.
Yeah.
And then they will, you know, combine the two in conferencing and hopefully get it signed by the president. The Senate bills that have been proposed are weaker. They don't have the strong provisions that the House bill does. And they also got muddied up with some language about gun amendments. So what we have been asking the Senate to do is to pass Mental Health Reform Act, to pass a Mental Health Reform Act, but to include provisions in the House bill in that act. And it looks like there's some other bills that will be added, Senator Cornyn's bill, the Mental Health and Safety in Communities Act, which provides more funding for assisted outpatient treatment. Also, from it provides more funding for mental health courts and drug courts. So that's a great criminal justice bill. But as the bill that we're trying to really push for is, you know, services for people with mental illness that so that they could get help before they ever have an encounter with law enforcement. I mean, really, we want to trickle that down. So the ask is mental health reform with provisions of H.R. 2646, the Helping Families and Mental Health Crisis Act. And it looks like they are going to take up that legislation in this lame duck session, which is really exciting for us because it looks like it's the only legislation they're going to take up in the lame duck session. And so that would be probably the last piece of legislation that the president would sign before he leaves office, which would be kind of groundbreaking, and it would be a landmark decision. And because it's been 50 years since, you know, the last Mental Health Reform Act was even discussed. So, but it is a can of worms.
It's moving through.
It's moving through. There are initiatives happening in Louisiana.
Where can people find out more about this national effort for mental health reform?
I guess the best website would be the treatmentadvocacycenter.org. I think it's TAC on Twitter. But that they have compiled a whole, I mean, all, there's a lot of information there and resources and so on, and more information about the bill and the lead up to the bill there. And I also just want to say that there are a lot of things happening in cities around the country and counties and parishes to create diversionary crisis centers, looking at one-stop shop facilities like what has happened in San Antonio. They have a restoration center. It's a national model, which is a larger mental health campus where everything is on one site, which, you know, reduces the problem of people with mental illnesses having to travel to get services, because that's always a problem. So, but that's, so, you know, and unfortunately, Orleans Parish is a little bit behind the eight ball because of all the political bickering, but there is work happening behind the scenes on, especially Vera is working on some sort of diversionary facility here. So, people can contact me if they like to if they want more information about this at healingmindsnola@gmail.com. And
once again, that vigil against building the phase three, against putting more beds in the Orleans Parish prison on Tulane and Broad, will be at Gravier Park Wednesday, November 30th at around 5 p.m. There'll be an overnight vigil with speakers.